The band Lit hit number one on the charts back in 1999 with the song My Own Worst Enemy, which got them a Billboard Music Award. And then they followed up that song with big hits like Ziploc, Miserable, and Lipstick and Bruises, to name a few. These days, Lit is touring. They have a brand new album out called The View from the Bottom. And making a connection right now, joining us is AJ from Lit. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. Just, We're here in Rochester. I think we're in Rochester.
I think we're somewhere, right?
Yeah, we're on the bus. We're always in the same damn place.
I know, right? So first of all, the new album's obviously out, The View from the Bottom. Tell us how it's both similar and different from past Lit records.
A little bit of time's gone by since we've got a record. I guess there's a lot of similarities. There's a few things that are different. I guess we some of the substance in and like lyrically has maybe gotten at times a little deeper than some of the stuff in the past. I mean, we've had a lot more, I guess, darker days to sort of, you know, talk about in our music. And I think that something that kind of, you know, we've always held on to, I guess, when we're considered like a party band. And I think there's something you're still going to have elements of that in this record. But, you know, we've grown up a little bit, and I think so has the music.
I know this album is real personal. You kind of mentioned it there just from what you guys have gone through. But, most of the songs and lyrics kind of show that in this album, which is great. Does that make it one of the more satisfying albums you've done, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I think we're definitely, you know, super proud of this record. I'm proud of all of our records. But definitely this time around, I think we were we took enough time to sort of heal and, you know, I guess mourn our losses and but at the same time regroup and as a band and as brothers and family, just did nothing but get stronger during these years. And I feel like the songwriting has gotten better. And like I was saying, we just have, I guess, just more to say than we did before. It's just a little bit more, you know, we still drink and go big every night, you know, but it's still like, we just appreciate a little more in life than just the party now, you know?
Well, I would think that the music probably, you know, writing the stuff probably helped you kind of, it was a therapeutic, I guess, is what I'm asking?
Yeah, and this, I think I sort of like, maybe I skipped over what I was trying to say a second ago. I think as far as this record goes, we did let, you know, enough time go by, and when it was time to start, you know, when we started writing music for the new Lit record, it was like floodgates just opened, and I think, you know, the inspiration and the passion and the fire and all that just kind of came back and all at once and like this great big wave and of creativity and excitement and it just I think that just made for just an overall good experience in creating the record.
We're gonna come back to your new stuff a little bit later, but we also want to pimp right now your website and your Facebook and Twitter. How can we as fans keep up with you too?
Yeah, I mean that's one thing is, you know, we just started getting sort of proactive with that. Our Twitter is pretty new, but Lit Band Official, litband.com is our website. Do I not have this stuff on me? I think that's what our Twitter is. You can follow, you know, we all have Twitters now, and we all have, you know, some of us just got, you know, on board with the Instagram, so we're trying to keep the, you know, when we see shit on the road, you know, snap away and just sort of keep everyone in the loop. But it's cool, man. I dig the whole Twitter thing, and at times it's really weird, but it's cool, man. I guess it's the wave of the future.
So how's the tour going, man? You're on a pretty sweet tour right now. How's that life going for you?
It's going killer. We're like, man, we're almost done. I think we got 8 shows left. We've been out here for a little over five and a half weeks, and the shows have just been off the hook. I mean, great turnouts every night, and you know, just a really good diverse mix of people coming out to these shows. I actually a lot younger than I expected. I thought, you know, because I think Lit's probably the youngest band on the tour. We're the ones that caught sort of the tail end of the 90s into the 2000s, but so I kind of thought there'd be a lot of soccer moms, you know, coming to the shows, which there's a, you know, there's definitely a fair share of that, but there's also like, you know, 19-year-olds, early 20s. It's just a lot of people that may have been too young, you know, when they were hearing the music first came out, too young to come out to the shows, and maybe even too young to relate to some of the songs. And now, like, a lot of the you know, a lot of it's kind of clicking and making sense. And those people are coming to the shows and getting to meet us for the first time. And we're, you know, it's just, it's awesome, man. Just getting to talk to fans that we've never met. I feel like, I kind of feel like we know all of our fans because we've toured so much, but really there's a whole different wave of new ones that I just, you know, it's just refreshing to get out and meet and talk to all these guys.
Well, and how cool is it too? Because I know you, I mean, you sold, what, 650,000 digital copies of My Own Worst Enemy, and that, you know, that wasn't even around back then. And then you've got the Rock Band too. So, you know, that's got to be kind of cool, you know, entering it to a new group of people, like you just said, you know, thanks to those kind of
things. It's crazy, and I think a lot of kids too, like you mentioned, Rock Band too. A lot of the kids are playing and know My Own Worst Enemy, and don't maybe necessarily know. They might not know that it's Lit. You know what I mean? So still, it's kind of a trip to watch. You know, watch it click with so many of these younger people, and like, oh yeah, and then they're getting the new record, and now, you know, that's the main reason we're out here, man. We're out here, you know, stoked to play. We're playing a couple of the new ones live. Pretty short sets out here because there's so many bands, but you know, we're squeezing in a couple new ones and getting great feedback on that stuff. So
yeah, well, we got to go way back here and ask you a few questions about the early days here. Trip down memory lane. So 1989-ish, you guys formed under the name Razzle. You had an EP in 93, changed the band name to Stain, and then they made you change it again because somebody else you know, had that later on. But so you and Jeremy obviously are brothers, but so how did you meet Kevin and Alan? Were you guys all childhood friends or something?
I mean Kevin and I went to junior high school together. That's when we didn't really hang out a whole lot till probably freshman year in high school. He was 1 year ahead of me, but, you know, one of those cases of, oh, the dude's wearing, you know, I saw Kevin wearing like a Metallica t-shirt or something like that. And that's kind of how you made your friends, you know, at that age. You just, oh man, we got something in common, and start talking about music. And I was, you know, I was playing drums in the garage by myself every day after school. So, you know, we just started talking about, hey, let's get together and jam. And at the time, I don't think, you know, he didn't necessarily know what instrument he wanted to play, and he tried singing at first, and then, you know, and decided it wasn't for him and started playing bass. So we, you know, that's just sort of how the cycle began, and we just finally put together a band and started doing the garage band thing every day. And it got to a point where we just couldn't find anyone to sing the songs we were writing. And I just sort of stepped up and was like, dude, I'll try it. I think I started singing when I was about 16. And then my brother he was in another band that he was roadieing for, and they asked him to join the band. So he kind of sort of led the way a little bit as far as getting shows and playing, you know, playing at some of the clubs, and then I think got us our first club show once we had enough songs to play live. And then, yeah, I guess fast forward a few years and, you know, Jeremy joined our band and, you know, we had, lost a couple members along the way, replaced a couple members, but Jeremy and I, you know, were the originals. And then Al was a really good friend of ours who was roading for another band that we were fans of. He was our first, you know, pick when I got off the drums. We're like, let's get Al and play drums for us. So it happened pretty early on. And we were banned for 20 some years, 22 years or something like that now.
That's nuts.
Yeah. It's just amazing that we click that well. It's almost like, you know, some people stay married forever and then, you know, majority of people get divorced.
So why the name Lit then when they made you change it from Stain? I mean, how did you guys exactly choose that?
Our first record, which is now Trip in the Light Fantastic, that record was originally, we were called Stain when we recorded it, and the name of the record was going to be Lit. And that was just something, the name kind of came up, I think someone was reading, there was a review on one of our shows, and someone had said, you know, watching this band on stage, like watching a bomb go off in a building or something like that. And we were just like, oh, dude, that's cool. And we were trying to think of a name that was like, you know, kind of summed up that, something that was explosive or a bomb or something like that. So I think Lit was just one of the words that came up. We're like, yeah, it has a good energy. Actually really glad we went with that instead of Stain.
Well, you guys had like kind of an up and down journey. Then you mentioned the late 90s earlier. So yeah, like around 97, your first album came out, Malicious Vinyl Record Label. And then it kind of collapsed. You had some bad luck there, but then you had good luck. RCA picked you up in 98. And then by like 99, you guys are, you know, huge around the world with all the different records, My Own Worst Enemy, Ziploc, Miserable. So My Own Worst Enemy, how'd you guys come up with that? Do you remember the moment you put it together?
Yeah, it is. it was just, you know, a typical night. We had our, you know, rehearsal space. We used to, in fact, we're in the same building we started out in, where we go and rehearse, just a big empty warehouse, but now, you know, full of equipment now. But we'd go in there with a case of beer and just sit around and shoot the shit for a while before we started playing. And that was, it was one of those nights. Went in and my brother was, you know, just turned on his amp and he was just messing around and he's like, I got this little riff idea. So he started jamming that riff and everyone just sort of joined in and we probably just noodled around with it for about 3 hours, just jamming it over, you know, playing over and over and over. And, you know, I pretty much came up with the melodies on the spot for it. And then, realized I had a, you know, at the time I was driving an old 63 Cadillac that had a broken fuel gauge on it. So I had to keep track of my gas mileage. And so I had to keep a little notepad next to me on the seat. And I had written down the line, no surprise to me, I am my own worst enemy. Every now and then I kick the living out of me. I had that written down on a piece of paper. And I was like, dude, I had this idea for, you know, it might go well with the feel of the song. And my own worst enemy, that's where it sort of started, bringing out the lyrics.
That's cool. So kind of back in that same time, then, like the 99 era, I mean, you toured with Garbage, Kid Rock, Offspring, no doubt. But what was Woodstock like back in 99? I've always wondered that.
It just sort of summed up that time period for the band, and it was just a whirlwind of, you know, our song. When our song hit radio, it wasn't a slow build at all. I mean, a lot of songs you put out, it takes, you know, it takes time for a song to catch on or for it to spread. Like, you know, that one hit the radio, and it was literally like just a matter of a few days that it was, you know, most requested on a lot of stations, and so we got kind of thrown into the fire pretty quick and had to be ready for it. Something that we had no idea what we were doing, you know, going from radio station to radio station, doing you know, morning on performances and interviews, and just so crazy and so fast that and, you know, and then what we did Woodstock, and that was how that day was. We were just like, I think, kind of on autopilot at that point. And looking back at it, it was just like, wow, what an incredible day that was. But while we were there, it was just like, you know, get off the RV. I think RV, it might have been a bus. Grab a bottle of Jaeger, start chugging it. I remember just standing on the stage, like, hey, you guys, time to go on. I hop up on like one of the biggest stages that I had ever been on, and just started pounding this bottle of Jaeger just to kind of get my feel on. I don't think I was nervous. I was just excited and pumped and just kind of wanted to get into the spirit of the day. And it's funny because someone actually snapped a picture at that moment when I'm chugging this big-ass bottle of Jaeger, and it ended up, they blew it up into a poster. Now the Jaegermeister offices, they hung it on the wall. And it actually became one of the heads of the company came in, one of the heads of the distribution company, and said, wow, what's that? And they explained it, and he's like, why don't we have a music department? And they started a whole music division off that picture of that, you know, that little Woodstock episode. But no, that was a great time, man. Good American festival. We had, the closest thing to that would have been, you know, a lot of the European we did was probably on that scale, you know, like Reading Festival and some of that stuff was just ginormous and some of my favorite shows.
So then you had a couple of really good albums come out, 2001, Atomic, and then the self-titled one in 2004. Things were going good. You were getting ready for some big, you know, for some big tours and stuff. Then you kind of had, you know, some real bad luck, I guess you could say, tragedies and stuff like that. A couple of different things happened. But as far as Alan goes, how in the world did you guys get through that? I mean, that had to have been so difficult, you know, being so close to him. What was that like? What do you remember about that?
Just unreal. I mean, it's still kind of, you know, every once in a while I'll look at a picture or something. I got pictures all over my house of you know, the four of us hanging out, and I see a picture of Alan, and it just, like, you know, I guess anyone that's lost someone that's that close to him probably can relate to this. You sort of feel like, you kind of feel like you could just pick up your phone and call them. You don't really feel like they're gone. You know, while he was sick, it was, you know, all we could do is be, you know, brothers to him and you know, take care of him the best we could and help him sort of at least still feel a part of it. And we did for a while. We would continue. We did some shows with him. And then it got to a point where we needed to hire. We had friends like, you know, Adrian from No Doubt, who was really good friends with Al, too, step up. And we would do shows with two drum sets on stage. And when Alan, you know, he can play a few songs, and then he kind of have a rough time, so we'd kind of switch off drummers. I guess watching him get sicker and sicker was just really tough. You know, it got to a point where he just couldn't play drums at all, and he couldn't find his way around anywhere. And that was just, you know, really, really hard to watch. And I think, you know, he was a trooper. You know, he never once heard the guy complain, and that made it easier. But on the flip side, it just reminded us what a great dude he was, and how, you know, it's just a humbling experience for everybody to watch when your friends go through that and be so strong. And then the night he passed away, we were all there in the room with him, and including our present drummer, Nathan Walker, was good friends with Al too. He was there that night as well, and we all just sort of, you know, went through it together, and just really can't even explain what that was like. But it definitely was a cool way for Al to sort of pass the torch to Nathan, and I can't imagine having to go through a process of auditioning drummers or get some guy in the band that didn't feel like family. But that's definitely the case now. You know, Nathan was, he's part of the Litt family, and it feels good. He honors Al, you know, and the way, you know, his playing, and whenever he plays any of the Litt songs, he plays Al's beats like to the T, exactly what Al did. You know, a lot of drummers go in there and they kind of feel like they need to throw their own flavor on there, and he stuck to what Al did, and just he's an incredible drummer too. I mean, it sucks that we don't have Al, you know, but we definitely think Al would want us to keep playing, and he'd be stoked to know that Nate's filling the shoes.
Yeah, that's great that you guys have recovered from that. We're talking right now to AJ from Litt. And then, so you've got the new record out, and you're wrapping up the tour here, got the new single out and everything like that. So what's next? What's the future of Litt, if you had to map it out, you know, for the future?
Well, we're definitely going to – we're going to be doing a lot of touring, you know, playing a lot of shows. I know we got to get over to Europe and see our friends over there. And I'd imagine at some point get over to Japan. We're just making the rounds, man, and – I know we're about to drop a single, and man, there's talk of tours. I can't really announce anything until it's all concrete, set in stone. But we got, you know, some pretty cool things on the horizon.